So I don't know if you've listened before, but we don't have theme music or anything like that.
I was actually very eager to witness this live. I think it was one of the main
Yeah.
reasons that I stuck this out and
Yeah.
showed up.
And so what we do in lieu of theme music is Ron and I do When the Saints Come Marching In on mouth horns. And you're welcome to join us in
No
playing,
thanks.
but
Please. You
you
guys should
know,
join us.
as the mood strikes you, you do or do not. But here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, welcome to week 9, episode 10 of City Saint, Country Saint. I'm Charles Starr. Good week this week. Fun time at the Dome as we survived the Chicago Bears. Here with me to talk about it, as always, my good buddy, L. Ron Mexico. Ron, how are you feeling?
Thankful. Like, this just feels like, I don't know, we didn't play like a real team. I don't know. It's just like not like the Bears were bad, but they just were like deeply unserious. And it feels good to play a team like that. I don't know. They're not like a
Yeah.
bad team. They're just amusing. They're funny, top to bottom. Just a bunch of, bunch of clowns. It was good. If I felt like it could have went a lot worse. Usually we're the clown team, and no, it was like being on an elevator. You ever like fight it on an elevator by yourself, and then the next thing you know, the doors start coming, like you bing, it's about to open up. You're like, damn, I thought I was just gonna make it out of here scot-free. And it's like if somebody else got on the elevator that had just fell in like the toilet, and then you're just like, all right, well, I'm fucking, I'm good. Like this guy's worse. Like I don't know. I'm just thankful. Like we lucked out, man. We lucked out. We lucked out. But yeah, that's where I'm at mentally.
All right. I am in a good place. I've decided to be in a good place despite all of the reasons why I might not necessarily want to be. But we have multiple guests to talk about the game with us. Two friends, one who people who follow the Charles Cinematic Universe know from our prior work on Hostile Witness. He is at very important on whatever socials you follow. Patrick Cosmos, how are you doing, Patrick?
I'm all right. It wasn't as far as losses go, it wasn't the least fun game in the world to watch, so
Good. And also with me goes, you will know him as Torque Penderloin on Twitter. I knew him. I knew his name, and then Torque Penderloin got so burned into my brain since the last time he actually used his real name on Twitter that I embarrassingly had to ask him what it was. He is all Chicago sports guy.
Sure.
Andrew, how are you?
Good. Glad to be here. I spent Sunday just, I like making jokes, and it's easier to make them when the Bears are shitty. So I've had a good Sunday for about, I don't know, 25 years or so.
Right. Answering the sort of the parallel to the perennial question that comedians get, where they're like, isn't Trump good for comedy? And it's like, how nihilist do you think I am? That's what I base what I want my national governance to be.
Luckily, the threshold for how nihilistic do you think that I am is way lower when it comes to Chicago sports and people who follow Chicago sports.
That's
So
right.
we're good. We could take it.
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, sure, you think the stakes are higher, but with a little bit of distance. So you have, I feel like it's true that you, Andrew, like were the guy who referred me to the Ivy Drip people. It's been a while.
Oh yeah, possibly, man. That was a long time ago.
It
And
was.
that's not
It
a thing
was.
anymore either, so
Yeah, I figured. What is the Ivy Drew? Think yeah. that I offended them.
It was a Cubs blog that a friend of mine started and then abandoned. I think he just abandoned the Cubs altogether at this point.
That's,
so.
That's the sports blog circle of life.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, blogs are just, I mean, gone, right? I mean, that's not even a thing anymore.
Yeah, it would be an email. It would be an email now, and those aren't as fun.
Right.
A Substack. Unless Substack is paying you, right. you know, $100,000 a year to complain that things are woke.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. That's it.
Right. And so that was the Ivy Drick was the Cubs blog, and they would ask people who were fans of the visiting or not visiting, but whoever the Cubs were about to play a series with.
That's
they
right.
would do like an email interview and be like, give us the rundown on the good and the bad about your team or whatever. And so that was sort of fun.
Yeah.
And so do you have a place where you write or talk about sports too?
Thank you for asking. I do not anymore, but I do have a wrestling Twitch stream on Mondays at 9, which I actually have to do after this. WrestlingBrain on Twitch TV, we host a eFed using Fire Pro Wrestling World. You don't have to like wrestling, but it's fun, and come check it out.
Cool. And Patrick, we'll do more promos at the end, but you just released an album, right?
I just wrapped up an album. I put out a track from it, but I got to get it mastered. My buddy Jason's going to take care of that. I need to do all of the actual, since I just kind of write stuff and don't have lyrics, I need to do the part where I actually take all my notes about titles and stuff and put that together, do the artwork. Get a bunch of stuff together. Hopefully wrangle some sucker into paying the money to put it out so I don't have to. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I still, I use one of your tracks as the interstitial music on Hostile Witness.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're both lifelong Chicago sports guys, right?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick is less concerned with sports. He's more interested in telling jokes.
I think Patrick has done a much better job of detaching himself from this useless existence that I've dug into deeper.
Well, I've taken to using the term instead of calling myself a fan. I'll be like, yeah, I follow the White Sox and I follow the Bulls. And I found that that's like a much easier way to sort of compartmentalize these things and define my relationship and set my boundaries with Chicago sports.
Mm-hmm.
I am sitting right in front of a genuine brick from the old Chicago Stadium, though. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Nice.
That is cool.
You mean like, original Comiskey?
Chicago Stadium, where the Bulls and the Blackhawks used to play.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so.
I was at the last regular season Bulls game in 94.
That's really cool.
That's a fun fact, yeah.
The wildest sports thing I ever saw live here in Chicago was my dad pulled me out of school early to get out there to Chicago Stadium because... Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's final season was like a road show where they were doing ceremonial jersey retirements everywhere. So I got to see them hang Kareem's jersey, which was pretty wild to see.
Nice. Wow.
That's nice. He is, Kareem was one of my favorite players growing up. I never rooted for any of my local teams. And when I was a kid, I was a Lakers fan, mostly because of Kareem and then because of Magic. And then, I gave up. On following the Lakers when the best modern player was credibly accused of
it.
Yeah. That was a bummer.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
That's, you know, kind of hard to be like, go team.
Yeah.
Not for a lot of people.
Not for a lot of people, no.
There's still Kobe stands. Yeah. Like, big time.
I know.
Like, I think they're gonna start a thing where he's not dead. That's just the next step in fandom, and like where they're that way. But yeah.
Hey, look, if John F. Kennedy Jr. is still alive,
Dude, they should get a Kobe lookalike dude to come back and say it's him.
Yes. Fun. I mean,
he could certainly miss plenty of shots, and people wouldn't
be afraid. It'd be really easy.
I think I could do a great job if you made me the point person for Kobe Bryant QAnon. I think we could get that going.
We could do it.
I think we could whip up a hell of a mythos. Make a lot of money. It'd be awesome.
Yes, and the number thing is already there because there's so many Kobe stats. You could do anything with numerology, with his stats.
I was going to say.
My God.
This is there for the
taking. Isn't 8chan named after Kobe Bryant?
Yes. It is now.
Yeah.
fuck, we could do it's this. All there. We just got to get a guy who sort of looks like Kobe.
He lives on through 2K.
But you can't but you can't tell anyone they sort of look like. None of us can tell anyone they sort of look like Kobe. Then we get in more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, we're maneuvering. We're going to have to Truman Show this person.
Yes,
we're going to have to find a way to maneuver them into this situation, but I don't think that that's outside the realm of possibility. I think we can make this happen.
We can do it. We can do it. Well, I don't know what the next step is. It's that, and then, yeah. And then, like, there's a question mark, and then there's, like, profit. And I don't know when we get money from this, but there has to be a way we get rich from this.
I have never figured out how to profit from a project. Not a single time. So the cycle of Chicago sports hasn't been terrible, right?
No.
I mean, you did have a long run with the Bulls, obviously.
Yes.
You won a couple of World Series.
One each.
With the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the Cubs won one in a year that I really need to forget.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good timing.
Because if Starling Marte hits that ball like 6 inches to the right or the left, Baez can't throw anybody out at home. It's a very sensitive time for me.
Well, so sorry. If it makes you feel any better, it was rough for me too, because I live like straight down Addison West, like 3 miles of the stadium. So people who are hopping on the train to go out to the suburbs on the far northwest side go right by my house. And I definitely stepped in where a guy barfed up a bunch of Mad Dog 2020
nice.
One morning at like 10 a.m. So I think we all have our own trauma from that series.
And are you guys old enough to remember the Super Bowl Shuffle?
Oh, yeah. It was everywhere.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, you can't go into any hot dog joint or barbershop without the poster of Andre Dawson, Walter Payton, and Michael Jordan in tuxedos, I think.
Nice.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Ah.
It's pretty ubiquitous.
The way that song existed and still exists, like in an ambient way in Chicago, is like, think of how you feel culturally about the Ghostbusters theme song.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's like our Ghostbusters theme song that we hear about that often, like just in a million different little party atmospheres or whatever in Chicago.
Well, right, sure. I mean, but my question wasn't, were you culturally aware of it? I just know that I was 14.
Oh.
And so, like the actual experience of that Super Bowl, like, I remember them beating the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, only vaguely, but yes. Yeah.
I was like 5.
Because,
but.
Yeah.
That's what I figured. Because I was a big Walter Payton fan, and I was offended that they gave a touchdown to Fridge, not the best running back in the history at that time, certainly, of the NFL. And I was just like, and I loved Fridge too, but I was like, you can't do him like that. You scored 4,000 points in this game.
Yeah.
You have to give Walter Payton, you have to give my man Sweetness that carry.
Yeah, but leave it to the Chicago sports scene to thoroughly dominate the most important game in history and complain about it. That is...
It's also appropriate that we could just really kick ass via fat guy touchdowns too. Like, that's really
cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I will say that my dream is that the Saints do that this year.
Yes.
I mean, you saw, I'm sure, number 99, Colin Saunders, come in as like a fullback and on Taysom's touchdown run, or not his touchdown run, his first down run, maybe on the touchdown throw, but certainly on the first down run that let them seal up the game and kneel out the last minute. They had Colin Saunders run like he was doing a jet sweep and then block on the right side. 99, he's like 350 pounds, just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, you give him a shovel pass and I will, like, literally give Dennis Allen a big wet kiss.
It's always cool. It's always cool seeing huge dudes go in for touchdowns. It's always awesome.
Yeah. I still think about the Keith Traylor interception from, like, I don't know, 20 years ago at this point, against Jacksonville We ran like 60 yards with like seven people hanging off of him. It was just the
yes.
best.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that. Yep.
And even when it's like semi-satisfying, like the James Harrison, like 99 yard interception return in the Super Bowl or whatever against Arizona. Ugh. Yeah. Did I just improperly celebrate a Steelers moment in front of you? Because I'm indifferent to both of those teams.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Arizona. I couldn't care less either way. So do you get to go to the games? Do you go to a number of games?
I used to go a couple times a year. My dad's a season ticket holder. He was on the wait list for a really long time, and by the time he got him, he had like kind of 1 foot out the door, still living here, like in the suburbs. And he lives in Florida now and is moving to Texas eventually. But, you know, he'll email every year and be like, look, if there's any games you want to go to, let me know. And I used to always go to a couple. Like, I would reliably go to the Vikings game because they have fun fans that, like, travel well. And always avoid Monday night games. It's a nightmare. Always avoid the Packers game because the people are just, like, ugh. Awful. Like, yeah. It just makes everybody into the worst person in the entire world. Same with Cubs Sox games. But, yeah, I'd say I used to live downtown when I was in law school, so I could walk there. And then I would go, like, 3 or 4 times a year. But now I live a lot further, and it's not, like, the end of the world hopping the train to get out there, but I'm not, like, fired up enough to get out in the cold and go do that. So I haven't been... I think I went to one game last season, but I don't plan on going any this season.
Hmm. Andrew?
Well, fun fact, I've been to 2 games under 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the stupidest thing you can think of.
Yeah, no.
One was the Michael Vick game when he came here and they just, like, made him cry. I remember Rex Grossman came back at halftime. It was a big deal. We were very stupid. The other one was a Packers game, believe it or not, and they won, which is certainly a rare occurrence. Also, I found out like a year ago that the day I was born was the day before Bears Vikings in 1980, and my dad ditched my mom and went to the game. Literally the day after I was born. So, and I think they got their ass kicked, which is even funnier. So, yeah, I don't go to a lot of games these days. I think it's a huge pain in the ass to get down there. The area is just not conducive to easy access. So,
yeah,
it's been a minute. And I also like really enjoy Sundays of like just really sitting there and watching a billion things at once. Yeah. A lot, you know.
Yeah. This just did pull up a dark memory because what the coldest game I ever went to, like the one sub-zero game I could vividly remember, was the game where they played the Chargers and what's his face, that quarterback everybody was mad at all the time, got hurt his knee. God damn it,
Cutler.
Yeah, when Jay Cutler hurt his knee and he was like frowning on the exercise bike and they were trying to get him back in the game, it was fucking miserable outside. And I just remember how mad everybody was.
God.
I have only been to one brutally cold game, and it was a very funny. I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast already or if I talked about it during the Lost Packers episode, but I went to one game in December in New Jersey when the Jets were playing the Bills, and our seats were literally in the last row of the stadium in the highest deck behind the end zone. And at first I thought it was going to be terrible, but it was kind of great because we were in direct sunlight and we were right up against the stadium walls. And so it was like a break from the wind.
Nice.
And so I actually had to take my coat off.
Nice.
Because it was like this perfect, like hilarious, you know, it was like, except for the fact that I was surrounded by concrete and drunk morons, it was like skiing in Denver.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
you're like at the top of outside of Denver, you're at the top of the mountain, the sun is shining, everything's perfect. And then, of course, the game ends. We put our coats on, we start walking down the steps, and we get like 3 rows from the wall, and we're like, what the fuck? It's just like brutally cold. Ugh. And then by the time we get to the concourse was like some torture device which turned like every little moving molecule in the air into a gale force blast. Mm-hmm. And so the whole concourse was like a hurricane, people moving like they're in tides, you know, just trying to struggle through to get to the escalator on the far side. And then you have to wait like 2 hours for a bus back to Port Authority. Or whatever, just absolute fucking miserable. And so that I'll never take the bus again. I'm just going to drive. I don't care if I run over a spotted owl. I am driving into the guard to the Meadowlands. And then if you drive, parking is like $50.
Yeah, I've never heard a story about the Meadowlands that didn't make it sound like hell on earth.
Yeah, me neither.
Couldn't get me to go.
I mean, it's probably not a horrible place to be buried.
Boom.
6 days a week, it's quiet. Most of the year, it's 7 days a week. Ron, have any questions, ideas?
I've never been, I'm hearing all this, I don't think I've been under 30 degrees. I could probably count on two hands the times that happened to me in life. So I have no really cold experiences. I don't know.
should keep it up, man.
Yeah, I'm going to keep
it
up. It's
really cold. It sucks. Yeah,
it's horrible.
The climate change thing is on my side. Yeah. I don't think I might not ever have to go for it.
Well, yes and no. There are only so many layers you can take off, you know, you're just buck naked and sweating.
Yeah, that's after every hurricane here for like a week when everybody loses power, you know. So I'm used to that. I can take the heat. It's the cold I never liked, but I don't know. But I think I saw snow like twice. That was pretty cool. But I hear it gets old fast. I don't know.
Like snow's nice as a backdrop to your life indoors. The snow's unpleasant as a practical matter, living your life anywhere except inside your house.
Wait, where? What are your two snow experiences, Ron?
I went to Toronto one time for like a job interview that I wasn't going to do anyway. I just wanted a free trip. And it snowed down here. Mm-hmm. It snowed down here again. And that was pretty cool. You know, nobody here, because everybody freaked out. And no,
that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but nobody could drive there. Nobody knew how to act. So, like, it was like everybody just got in their cars and crashed them, like, immediately. It was like a cartoon. Because, like, nobody did anything different. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't change my opinion at all. In fact, it only proves that I'm correct.
The most egregious town I've ever seen like that is Seattle. Because it, like, reliably snows there every year. And then every year when it happens, it's like bumper cars. Yeah. Like, it's like, how did you guys, this happened? This just happened. It's really wild.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, people don't drive that much and that dangerously in New York when it snows. And they really do. They shut down all, you know, parking rules because they know they're never going to clear the snow in any sort of timely way. And to the extent that they do, clear the snow from the roads, they do it in a way that they turn everyone's cars into like mosquitoes in amber for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to wait until the weather gets back up to the 40s before you can even pickaxe your car out. Yeah. So they're just like, we're leaving it there. We're going to lock you in and we're just going to leave it there. And then you can't drive anywhere because you know you won't be able to park anyplace else. So you just kind of reacquaint yourself with the excellent public transit that keeps getting slandered.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty similar.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we do a decent job, all things considered. But
well, the difference is our parking rules kick in when it's snowplow season.
That's right.
But that doesn't change the fact that the shit you're talking about still happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny. Wait, do they change the parking rules in a way to say, get your car off the fucking street so we can plow it?
Yes.
Or, like, yeah. Yeah, no, they're just like, we're only plowing the center so emergency vehicles can get through and your life means nothing.
Got it.
So we're just, like, blocking your car in.
Welcome, everybody. We got the segment Man in the Dome. And joining us tonight, or today, or whenever you're listening, is Skooks. And he's our man in the dome. He was in the dome. He was at the game. He saw the whole thing happen. He could feel the vibes. He could analyze what the defense and the offense was doing. And he can kind of take the temperature or what was happening in the dome. So, Skooks, welcome to the show. And how you feeling?
It's great to be back. We're pretty good. I think we're all feeling pretty good now, right?
Yeah.
But that was one of the classic force five turnovers and still only win by one score games. Yes. Everybody loves those.
Yep. Yeah, it was nice to feel completely dominant but never calm.
Yeah.
which was the game you did for us the first time? Was it the one when Groupie missed the kick or the one after when Groupie missed the kick?
Tennessee game.
Week one. So that was fun.
It's kind of similar to this in a way that it was frustrating on our offense.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. It was like sitting there just waiting for whatever the Deus Machina was going to be, right? Because, you know, all right, this is not going so great. You know, the Bears seem to have a really simple game plan, but for some reason, you know, we don't really know how to keep up with it. I think we just kind of like outlasted them basically, or they just kind of made enough mistakes. Same thing that happened in Tennessee. Tannehill made enough mistakes that the Saints were able to get away, and same thing, Tyler Beignet or whatever his name was made enough mistakes that the Saints were able to get away.
Yeah, I mean, I sound like a broken record about this, but I think they thought they needed to confuse the rookies, so they were doing all these confusing soft zones where they, I think, were moving people in and out. And so there were always constantly holes in the zone for Bajan to throw into or run into, and it was just torture to watch. They just kept leaving really obvious gaps for him to fill. And then in the second half, they were like, well, why don't we just play straight up, you know, man defense on this guy and see if he can actually thread a ball into a receiver, and the answer was never. He never could. And so they couldn't move the ball at all in the second half. So that was great.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what were people in the dome thinking? Was it that vibe, like, oh, we're going to lose this thing? Like, you know, that dread, that doom that kind of comes over us, like, when we just feel like, oh, we're destined to lose this. Was that in the stadium?
Well, you know, I would love to give you the vibe of the Saints fans in the dome. Unfortunately, the way it turns out, our section was inundated with Bears fans this week.
Oh shit!
We live up in the terrace, and it's a function of how the Superdome has kind of changed over the past decade or so, and in the same way that the city of New Orleans has kind of changed over the past decade or so, where you know Airbnb has eaten up every neighborhood to the point where like you feel like nobody actually lives here anymore. We go up into the terrace of the Superdome, and it seems like everyone has, brokered out their seats to whoever the visiting team is. And,
and
so we get up there, and it's like, I mean, you know, 60-40, but it's a lot of Bears fans in our seats.
Yeah, of course. Oh, well, you know, we might as well get that update. What is the state of the Bears?
Yeah, how
do the Bears fans feel about what they've got to watch every week?
Well, you know, just judging from the folks that were sitting with us, they seem pretty resigned to things, you know, and you can imagine the way their team is playing right now. They were very nice people, which is what comes with, you know, not really feeling that there's a whole lot at stake. So we had a lot of like, you know, kind of friendly conversations with people about what they're doing in town and stuff like that. So, you know. Nobody was surprised by the way it ended or the way it went on either side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
is it loud now that we've won a couple in a row? By the end of the game, when Taysom ran for that first down to seal it, did the place go really nuts, or was it, yeah, this is okay, we'll see you next week?
There were a couple of times where, like, when Dennis Allen decided to go for that fourth down where they fucked it up when
yeah.
You could hear a lot of boos. And there were
when he went for it, or when they chose to use
when they failed car. To make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and everyone went, "Wait a minute, that was a bad idea." And so they all booed. And
I think it was a good idea. They just had the one person in black and gold who you don't want to rely on to push the pile for half the yard. Do it.
Yeah, no, nobody was happy with that. They also people were not too happy with the missed kick.
Yeah,
yeah.
Groupie's got a baby face and everything, and everybody wants him to do well, but it's been half a season now, and I think there's at least two games where it's gotten to where, you know, he's been the difference or close to being the difference.
Can you imagine you hit a 55 yarder and at the end of the game people are still fucking mad at you? You know? Yeah. You gotta hit the ones. You're in a dome, man. You have no crosswind.
Does it feel like they're done with Groupie? Like they just want to see somebody else, or we?
So Dennis Allen gave the keep doing what you're doing speech, about that at the press conference.
Yeah.
So they don't sound like they're ready to move on, which maybe that's correct. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy, but I am starting, like, my patience is running out. I think a lot of Saints fans are feeling the same way.
I think they're kind of stuck with him for the year. It's not like Lutz is out there unemployed. He's in Denver. And the Texans finished last week with special teams / running back kicking a 30-yard field goal in a, that actually mattered to win the game, because Fairbourn got hurt too. So there's a kicker going off the market from a team that's going to pay him more. If we have to bid against someone else to replace our kicker midseason, they care more than we do because they have nobody, and I don't think they're going to pay a premium to, get Morton Anderson to lace him up again.
Yeah.
That's true. That's another Superdome thing. Aaron Brooks was in the game. Speaking of lace.
Oh, nice. Shit. We talked about him. Yeah.
Oh, y'all talked about him
a little bit. How was the reception for him? Like, did he get like a little standing ovation or anything, or did he got honored?
Yeah,
or?
It turns out, people love Aaron Brooks nowadays.
Oh,
history judged him well, after all that time.
Yeah,
good.
And I think that's just, I think that's better. I kind of think Derek Carr is sort of the Aaron Brooks experience all over again. He's got similar strengths and similar weaknesses, and they both have like bad shoulders, so it's not too bad. And he was there, and it was fun to cheer for him. There was I got to tell you though, there was a he and Michael Lewis were there, and they put both of them up on the screen, and they also the Saints tweeted this out, a picture of the two of them together, looking like grandpas. And I just looked at that photograph, and I just my back pain like started to flare up on me. My God,
yeah, that's I don't need to see that at all.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the Aaron Brooks era a lot. He had his frustrating moments because he would make some dubious decisions and fumble or throw interceptions or whatever. But it felt like we scored points in bunches. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's something fun about having a team where your quarterback can be dangerous out of the pocket. And when Aaron Brooks actually ran, it's like fun as shit, man. I hate it when the opposing quarterback runs against me. But when my guy gets out of the pocket and gains like 8 to 14 yards, I love it, man. It's so much fun. You're like, that's what you get for actually covering our receivers. Fuck you. We can make you pay this other way. And, you didn't get that with Breeze, but you didn't need it. But with Derek Carr, if everyone's covered, wrap it up, man.
Yeah,
that's true. But, Carr, like Brooks, seems to have trouble figuring out, quickly enough who is open or who isn't.
Yeah.
So
I think it's still where it like
the mark of a good quarterback is if you look at the box score, almost any game between like one of these good quarterbacks like Mahomes or something, you're gonna see like 8 different receivers who catch the ball, And then you look at the Saints and it's like 4, 5 and then
and that's another thing that, you're talking about the vibe in New Orleans right now. Like a lot of Saints fans aren't old enough to remember that it wasn't always No, it wasn't always Drew Brees back there seeing things before they happen. You know, the other half lives like this most of the time. And,
people have to get used to that. Is a running theme of my commentary is how I'm so spoiled. It makes me a shitty fan now. There are too many reasons why the ball doesn't get thrown around, but at least they're mixing up Taysom's stuff and letting him throw passes. So the presence of number five on the field doesn't mean that everyone keys the run and slows him down a little. You know, letting him throw that pass to Juwan Johnson makes him more dangerous next week.
Man, Johnson was so open on that play. It was hilarious just from in the stands. You could just see him. Like, I think we were all just shouting about how open he was before the ball came out.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw him back there and I saw the ball get thrown. I'm like, don't step out. Don't step out. Keep your feet, right? Because he's so close.
Yeah.
It was great. I was very happy. Even though when Saunders went in motion, I was like, this is time. This is time. We got it. We got it. The big guy's cashing it in. And then they didn't. And I thought he was open at first, but on the replay, it was pretty clear that he was not open at all.
The Bears saw him go in there, and they all ran that way.
Yeah, you know? He was like double covered.
Like you were, so yeah, that was great.
Yeah, well, you got a double cover because each side of him is in a different zip code. Yeah. All right, I think that's a good note to close it on. But thank you for coming back, Skooks. We will see you again later this season.
Yeah, anytime. Y'all. It's always fun.
That is our man in the dome.
Man in the dome. Thanks, Skooks.
All right. Should we talk about this game?
We can if you want. Yeah. You can if you want. I'll start by saying this. Yeah, the Bears are god awful. Probably the worst team I can remember just because of people being fooled into thinking that this might be a fun year before it started, and it's somehow worse than last year.
That's coach, every Chicago sport right now, actually.
It is. The coaching staff is as inept as I've ever seen it, and we've seen some really bad ones, and I think on top of that, people are every 6 weeks getting arrested for some kind of computer crime, which is incredible. But I genuinely think the Saints are terrible. Just based on what I saw. And I don't, I think here's my takeaway from the game. The Saints are bad, yet they're 5-4. And the Bears had 900 chances to at least tie the game and couldn't do it because the Bears are that much worse. So I'm in one side sort of like, maybe they're not that far off because you don't even have to be that good to be 500 in this league. Mm-hmm. But also they have nothing. It's just like, it's a dichotomy. It's very strange. I'm not sure how to take what I saw because
it was. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the Saints literally had the ball in the Bears half the field the entire second half. I don't understand how they only won by 7 points, 5 turnovers, never having the ball in their own side of the field, and somehow it was a 7 point game. Just blows my mind. I don't understand. Anyway,
it was like watching two equally matched teams, but one of them just ate like a really greasy hamburger and had slippery hands.
It is very funny. That is how the discussion goes in a lot of games this year. You know, that is what Jeb said about Tampa. Mm-hmm. That is basically how Ron and I think talked about Indianapolis a little. Ugh. That's definitely how Jesse and us talked about the Tennessee game, because here's the deal. This is why we're 5-4. We have such a soft schedule.
It's so easy.
And we're still only 5-4.
It's so easy.
You know, like that's exactly where we are.
But you naming all those teams just reminds me how much of like a big gross blob the NFL has turned into. It's just all these shitty average to maybe below average to slightly above average teams that like just catch a break here and there, and suddenly they're 5-4 or they're 2-8 or whatever it is. Like it's such a gross league now. It's turned into this weird like parody, but in the worst possible way, if that makes sense.
Like how baseball felt a couple years ago. When you had like two good teams that spent money and then just like a bunch of people playing grab ass. Like, mm-hmm. like awesome. Fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I blame the extra game a little bit. Like one more thing of preseason would have helped, I think. And stop the set. Go back to 16 games. It's too sloppy. There's a lot. I guess there's a lot of reasons, but that's something.
Yeah. It's an ugly number, too. It looks stupid.
It does look stupid. Like everyone's so used to being like doing the instant head math of the final record, like 8-8, 10-6, whatever. Now you have to tweak it like by one, and nobody ever gets it right.
And you're like, it's eight games. We're halfway through the season. Oh well, actually, you're not quite right. Season. Fuck you. right. It was frustrating for all of those reasons. Right, you get five turnovers, you spend the whole time in the other side of the field, and you definitely think you're scoring more points than 10 in that half.
You would.
But both teams got like the what can only be considered the like archetypal doink.
Oh yeah.
Right, where you hit the post on a field goal so flush that you could like tune an instrument to it.
Yeah. Is it just me or was the Saints one like ungodly fucking loud?
Yeah.
Like it rang out.
I will tell you that I don't know because I watch in a bar.
Okay.
Where I'm the only person paying attention to the Saints game. Like I felt it vibrate, you know, like you know, like when people are stomping, "We Will Rock You," like the deaf guy in the stadium can't hear it, but he knows what song is being played. Right. I felt it in a bar in Brooklyn when that ball hit the post.
I don't know where that microphone was, man, because the Bears one didn't sound like that. It sounded crazy.
I was watching in a water plant, and there's like 1,000 pumps going and noises and shit, and I still heard it. You know, it was like, bam. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's it's crazy. But, I mean, what was – we went for it on 4th-and-1 once in field goal range, which I don't mind because Groupie's been really inconsistent, and we should be able to get 4th-and-1 in a lot of ways. You know, we now have a 350-pound guy who we put in at fullback sometimes. We have Taysom Hill. And instead, we had Carr do the quarterback sneak, even though he's got a bum shoulder, so I'm sure he's scared shitless to do it. And he's just not fast, so I just don't figure him as a guy with, you know, good ankle strength and he just goes nowhere, so we don't get the first down on that one, plus we miss a field goal, plus, you know, blah blah blah, we just kept throwing away our... And then of course the game ends on the 10-yard line because, you know, we don't try to score, but like the whole game was just us, our offense just shooting itself in the foot, you know.
Well, let me ask you this then, as an outsider, the whole like Derek Carr thing seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, like
that is exactly how we would put it.
Yeah, yeah. Like it just, it's like we're going through this thing where they're not sure what they're going to do because, you know, Fields is up and down. And of course there's a white guy who's a backup. Now everybody loves him, even though he sucks.
I want to get into that.
We'll get into that for sure. So they're not sure if they're going to, you know, end up drafting one of these other college guys and starting that process over again. Whereas I don't hate the idea of bringing in like a decent veteran guy who already knows how to throw an NFL pass. It seemed good, but it's been really bad. So I'm just curious, like, what your experience has been with Derek Carr.
Yeah, well, I wanted to let Ron take this one first.
Okay. Well, if you're interested in that,
just talk too much.
Yeah, you could take Carr from us. We would gladly. I think I would trade Carr for Taylor Bagel, whatever his name is. Like, he kind of looked like he had...
You could have him.
Moxie.
It's Typo Baggins.
Typhoid Baggins. Taylor Bongo. Tyler Agent. Banye.
Dude's got a name game ass name. I hate it.
I know. It's that whole, like a Japanese video game named him. Like, I don't even know where they, y'all got a lot of guys like that in y'all team. Y'all got a guy named Tevin, like some guy named
Cole Komet, who sounds like an Egyptian god name. It's awesome.
Yeah, you have to say it. It's all one word.
Yeah, Cole Komet. But it could be like
Cole Komet.
Wait, isn't that what Homer drank outside of the World Trade Center?
That's right,
Cole Komet.
I'll take the crab juice.
But if you say it Cole Komet, it sounds like a NASCAR driver who doesn't drive sober. I don't know. It could be. It's how you pronounce it. Yeah, he's a weird guy. Yeah, that's a. I don't know. Like that. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, Derek Carr. Yeah, I'm
Derek Carr.
I'm fucking so like if Jameis is really not a step down at all. Like our most valuable guy, the guy we don't want to lose is Taysom, because without him, our offense can't do shit. Because he's the most valuable guy I think on the offense. Maybe not our best player, but our most valuable. Carr. I the money we're paying him, we could have anybody else almost, like a Sage Rosenfeld or something. Like, I don't know. I'm just picking guys' names as that would be just as serviceable as Carr. But yeah,
I'm not quite as down on him. I really was. The last two games have been a little bit of a relief for me because they have changed the offense enough. You know, my complaint for the first seven games of the season was that they weren't throwing over the middle of the field at all, and that's where a lot of our best players were. We have like a few guys who do really good slants. Our offense has always relied somewhat on the tight end running seam patterns and stuff like that. Kamara is really good in space, and the space that he's good at is very often on center screens rather than to the edge. And so the fact that they weren't going to using the middle of the field at all was making me tear my hair out, and they've done that more the last couple of weeks. And so I'm not quite as mad as Carr. I say this every week, but I got spoiled by Breeze's precision.
Sure.
On both timing and where he would put the ball for his receivers. And so I'm really cranky about that. Like someone, like a Patriots fan who would like whine when they only made it to the NFC Championship game. Like if Carr throws a pass that the guy catches but has to reach back for instead of in stride, I'm like, you're a failure and your mother hates you.
Yeah.
Because that's not what quarterbacking is.
I understand that feeling. I've been mad ever since the Bears got rid of their really good quarterback, too.
Yeah. So much success. It's like, it's hard to watch this, you know? It's just been... It's like one of those things, like, with the fucking Packers, too. Like, sorry, is there a language there?
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Okay. No, I don't need to swear. Just
yeah. Whatever. No. The church sponsors us, but they don't censor us.
But no, like, coming into the season with the Packers... There you go. With the Packers not having a Favre or Rodgers for the first time in 30 or whatever years, like... They have no idea what it's like to watch someone play quarterback like a human being, like someone who sucks. And you, not realizing, had watched Drew Brees for so many years, probably forgot what it's like to watch somebody who isn't very good. And it's not so fun, is it?
No.
It's not.
I'm sorry for what y'all are going through. Like, and still, like, Mitch Trubisky ain't coming through that door. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta...
Yeah, I will say that there... Target Bogo had some stuff that I thought was not terrible. Like the first half was driving me crazy because the way the Saints approached defense in the first half is the way I think a lot of teams do when they have a young quarterback who they don't respect. And they're like, oh, we're going to mix up our coverages and throw really confusing zones at the guy and disguise our coverages. And then we're going to end up, you know, making this kid cry. and then what ended up happening was our defense was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so there was always a hole. Right, you know, all of the yards he threw for were in the first half. You had two touchdown drives, and every time we actually covered anyone, we didn't have anyone spying on Bajent, and so he ran for 70 yards. Yeah. He kept getting outside of the pocket, and then there's no one there, and he kept running for first downs. You know, he averaged 9 yards a carry. And I think he got 9 yards on every catch.
Felt like, yeah. You know? When they were keeping, when they were maintaining control of the ball, he was putting on a pretty good show. That long pass to Kmet was horrifying.
Yes.
And it was a miracle that got caught.
Yes.
But yeah, he looked competent. And then it turns out maybe he Mr. Magood his way through that just by virtue
of. Well, but I don't think so. I think in the second half they just played man. Because they did what I was. I don't know if I have special powers. I assume I do.
Probably, yeah.
All of the things that I was yelling at the television were just play man. You're a team that plays man all the time. And if you don't respect this quarterback, you don't have to treat him as special. Just play your regular defense. And when they did, they were able to cover your receivers. They were able to make Bajan hold the ball, and they started putting pressure on him, sacking him, hitting him, making him throw the ball away. And that's all you needed to do in this game. This wasn't like they decided to reinvent the wheel without a car to put it on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. It's like once you, he had more time, I felt like, than Fields has often. Because you could just let him sit there. He's not going to pick you apart. He doesn't have the arm strength to just find little areas and make people pay for letting him sit back there. The other major gripe I have is that for whatever reason, since Bajan's been in, they've been running far more QB reads than they did when Fields was in. Like the stuff that worked last year that Fields was able to do when he'd get outside the pocket and kill you. They've stopped doing that this year completely. And then all of a sudden, now that Bajan's in, they're letting him do these little read options where he's taking those little 9 yard runs that Fields would run for twice as much, if not more, if they were doing it with him. But
yeah, I have two ways of thinking about that though. One is, and I mean, I'm pretty cynical, so I see both of them as being true. One is just, you know, giving up on Fields and not thinking that he's got the quarterback brain to be able to adjust on the fly and all of that. But the other is he keeps getting hurt. Like he got hurt in college. Like, you know, if you actually think he's good and you actually want him to be a quarterback for a while, he's not the first guy who they've had, you know, who the team has had to say, you can't run so much because we can't get you lit up every time we fuck the blocking up on, you know, on a bootleg where you end up totally exposed. And so, you know, I think they would throw Bajan through a meat grinder without any regret at all.
Yeah.
And Fields, they have to, you know, worry about his future.
Well, I don't think he has.
They haven't
one.
Given up on him.
I think they have.
I mean, he might not. I thought he was so good in college. I really expected him to be good.
Listen, it's 100%. He's talented enough. I think this coaching staff has ruined him to the point where they can't commit to him going forward because you either let him go or you give him that extension that you have to really shell out for, and you're committing to this guy for multiple years, and I don't think they're in a position where they're able to do that. I still don't know who's going to get, you know, let go at the end of this year because I don't trust anybody in this organization to do the right thing. They should have fired the coaching staff in week 5. I don't know if the GM's going to stick around or not. It's just a complete disaster. It's up in the air in every single way, honestly. So I don't know. It's a rough spot for sure. At least they have all the draft picks, but if this is the guy who's making them,
yeah,
you know, then that's scary enough as it is. So, yeah.
Right.
I could see Fields like maybe having like a Geno Smith career, like where he has like this late resurgence where he gets on with the right team and he kind of starts putting it together. But yeah, he might be ruined for a while now with this.
Oh.
No, I think he goes somewhere else and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
If not good. Yeah. That's
another kinda Chicago tradition is having players who are really good the second they get the hell out of here.
Exactly. It's really sad. It sucks, man, because this is one guy I was really rooting for to kind of make us see the quarterback position differently. And I think we fucked it. I think we ruined him. And then, like Patrick was saying, the other tradition in this town is the scrappy little white backup who is everybody's favorite player. The minute he comes in and all the, you know, the tropes of like, oh, he sees the game better. And, you know, whatever else you want to throw out there as metaphors for like is a white guy.
I think you can...
I mean, I can't imagine anyone saying that about Bajent, though. I mean, I'm sure they are in local press, right? Like, of course, I don't expect better from people,
right.
But it just... This isn't a case where it, like, makes even a lick of sense.
Well, there's two competing things here in Chicago, even if you completely discard the racial aspect of it. There's two competing things. One is that Chicago fans just... The second anything goes slightly wrong, want to see that backup quarterback in. The joke I always make is that it's Caleb Haney time because like 10 years ago, everybody was just dying to fucking see Caleb Haney in there. And he just showed up and ate shit. And it's like, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, what did you think was going to happen here? So that's one. But I think that the other thing, I think Chicago's a little bit rattled by last time he went to the Super Bowl. Because we were like in this weird interim where like we had had Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton. And Rex Grossman had like a really mean arm, but was stupid. And Kyle Orton wasn't the most technically proficient quarterback, but he made the right play. So I think that everybody just got used to the notion that there was going to be like next man up and you can patch up these differences with somebody else or whatever. Except that like, that doesn't work when your other guy sucks. Like this guy fucking sucks. Like what do you expect was going to happen? So I think it's just a grass is greener situation that we have. And we just have it over and over again.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's funny. Usually we have, and we don't get to do it very much because we keep bringing on guests who don't care for one reason or another. But this would be the point in the show where we do the segment, you know, get our ass or, you know, get your ass, depending on who wins or loses.
Oh, boy.
But you kind of have to now sit here during get their ass. As since the Saints won, as Ron and I just make fun of you for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, what do you
know? Is that okay? That's okay. Is that okay? It's... No hard feelings. Yeah.
More than okay. Feel free.
There's nothing mean enough you could say to this team that we haven't said worse.
Correct.
All right, you start. You can go first, Ron.
Okay. I did write one joke, but I'll just go off the top of the rest of it. Well, we could just... I just said, like, well, I haven't seen a bear eat that much shit in late fall since Grizzly Man. Okay. I bet a go ahead, what you got? I could keep going on. I could just make
well, I just want to say that I also absolutely fucking hate the Cubs.
Does Patrick.
I'm actually Cubs agnostic. I just this is another one of those tribal things I just stay entirely out of. So
yeah, that's fair.
But no, I thought your defense was entirely nondescript for the whole game. I don't remember a single play you made, good or bad, for 60 minutes of football. Like,
What's funny about that is that the coach they hired is a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, explain that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. All I know is, other than getting stuffed on fourth and goal, the whole game felt like we just chose not to score when we got close.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were just like, I feel like with ADHD, they were just like, I need to do something else.
Yeah. adulting.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I see very little of a future. You know, Deonta Foreman as your running back is like a serviceable guy, but he's not going to be, you know, where you turn anything around. Your best receivers, Mooney and DJ Moore, have, like, I feel like I've known them my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good sign. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I'm glad. I think God killed Dick Butkus so he wouldn't have to see that. You know? Like, that was a mercy. Nice. It's like Charles said, it's going to get worse.
We punished you further by not killing Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Mike Ditka can talk about how all of today's Bears are soft and... communists.
Yeah, that's about right.
And he's got a, Dick has got to hate this quarterback because he looks like a skateboarder who's like feuding with a mayor or something like that. He looks like a YouTube prankster or something like he looks like
I
a
was
little
really
shit.
Like, yeah. I was surprised in both directions. I was surprised when he took his helmet off on the sidelines. And I thought that he was like a kid in a Halloween costume. And then he went back in the game and I saw his left arm. I guess I'd only noticed his right arm. I wasn't paying enough attention to it. And he had like a biker's amount of tattoos.
Yeah.
Like he had a sleeve of tattoos. And I'm like, did you just wear two costumes?
Yeah. He looks like a third Paul brother.
Yeah,
like he steps straight out of YouTube.
What if he is, and like, and the Paul brothers hurt Fields somehow, so they could get their third secret mystery brother to play quarterback, and this is some part of their Paul Empire shit. It wouldn't surprise me. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah,
they would never claim him after this loss, though.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
The neat little special interest story is over. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always funny when that sort of thing happens because I will say the Pirates had one of those this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The pinch hitter guy.
Drew Maggi. That's right. He was like Crash Davis without the home runs in the minor leagues for his whole career. And then they had a rash of injuries and some weird timing with the way the waivers work and who was local and who wasn't local. And so they ended up calling Drew Maggi, a 30-year-old rookie straight out of AA. And, you know, and everyone's like, oh, that's so sweet. And everyone talks about him like he's, you know, the Downs kid who no one guards so he can shoot a 3-pointer or something. And I'm like, you know, this guy has played professional baseball for like 11 years. He actually plays baseball for a living. You can talk about him as if he's a living, breathing human who can read what you say about him in the paper.
Like a Make-A-Wish kid that just keeps hanging around.
Yeah. And then he ended up getting a hit and an RBI, and then he batted against a pitcher and hit a double to the wall, and so he ended up with like an OPS over 1,000, and then got sent down again, and then like was dropped into a hole where no one will ever find him again.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Though my take on it was he was in and out of the organization a lot over those years. Like, I think we originally drafted him, then he went away, and then we signed him back. And I think they like him to be, like, an organizational coaching guy. And this felt like kind of a career attaboy. And we'll see if I'm right. But it felt in a way that they were like, we'll give you this kind of, you know, weekend in the show. And then after the year, we'll bring you back as a hitting coach in Bradenton or something. And then you can try to work your way up to the majors that way or something. I don't know. But those stories, I couldn't help but get caught up in it. Like, I was really rooting for the guy, but I did not want to read anything about it because I knew all of it would be so cloying.
He also wasn't your quarterback.
That is correct. Yeah. My make-a-wish guy doesn't have to start the next six games.
Correct.
Yeah.
He's not my closer.
Yeah.
Here you go, Drew Maggi. The ball is in your hands. The bases are loaded. Yeah. If you don't strike this guy out, they drop a piano on a baby.
Yeah, it's like if Rudy has to start middle linebacker for like the national championship or something. Yeah, you don't want that.
Rudy.
Yeah. Oh, that's another Chicago like guy, right? He's up there, Notre Dame. That's
no,
that's Indiana. That's somewhere up there.
I mean,
that's
it is,
guys.
But
that's you guys. That's you
I
guys.
I hate
yeah.
Notre Dame.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it is, man. Terrible.
Yeah, we had a similar situation to y'all, but it was with Aaron Brooks and Jake DeLome. And Brooks was Yeah, he was very frustrating for the fan base, but he was definitely the more talented guy, and I liked him. But DeLome, apart from being the white guy, was also like from here, so everybody wanted to see him.
Yeah,
start.
He's Cajun.
Yeah, yeah, he's just like a couple miles west.
He went to Lafayette.
Yeah,
didn't
I think he went to UL, and I think he's from like Bro Bridge or something. Like that's right around Lafayette, but. Yeah, he ends up like going to the Panthers and going to the fucking Super Bowl. So maybe he was good, but I don't think he was that good when he was.
Yeah,
he was
actually decent, but he was not as like Brooks was. I thought really really special, but not. He was in the Rex Grossman mold, kind of.
Yeah,
he wasn't a very sharp quarterback. He wasn't very good at reading game situations, but. When he was on, holy shit, he was so much fun to watch.
He was the best quarterback, talent-wise, we had, like, in my lifetime. I'm born in 1980. Like, I saw Bobby Hebert. He was okay, but, like, to that point, Aaron Brooks was the best guy I've ever seen in the Saints uniform at that point.
So, Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes, now we're talking.
Yeah. He's good.
If we can do just Tecmo Super Bowl rosters, like, we'll
yes,
be good.
Yes.
Oh my God!
That's the last video game
Followed
I ever played.
Bobby Hebert with Steve Walsh.
It's probably the best one you'll ever play too.
Yes. Yep. Tecmo Super Bowl. That's my favorite. Man.
The best.
Yep.
Tecmo Bulgent, quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Yes. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Saints roster stuff. Just because we might as well. Last week, when the Taysom Hill package, they would use like literally seven offensive linemen, right? They would have tight ends maybe, but they would add two of their bench linemen and just make it so that they just had this wall of beef. And they didn't do that quite as much. Trevor Penning literally got one snap. He was our first round pick last year. And he is showing himself to be completely incapable of playing offensive line at this level. He spent the whole entire year last year on injured reserve because he got hurt in training camp, seriously. And then this year, it was supposed to be his thing, and he just is, like, totally eating shit, and he's being benched behind guys that we find, you know, just hitting blocking dummies in the parking lot of a Dick's Sporting Goods. And so, like, not great. He got one play. Landon Young got four plays to come in those Taysom Hill packages. And so I'm, like, absolutely not sure what we're doing. And, like, half of our running back, our wide receiver core is literally just in there for blocking. Like, the Bowden and Perry, I think, exclusively block. And our entire offensive line played all 63 snaps on offense. Our defensive backfield, four of them, Matthew May, Lattimore Adebo, and DeMario Davis. And Pete Warner, I guess, missed one play. He might have gotten, you know, banged up a little. Like, we have a lot of guys who don't sub out at all. And that just does not sound like a deep team. So it feels like very rickety.
And Matthew got beat. Matthew don't look like his old self. He's not the honey badger no more for sure.
No.
Like, it was kind of evident watching this.
No. Yeah, he's definitely, Matthew has, Cam Jordan surprises me because I keep thinking he's lost a step. And then he he played, I thought, pretty well for a lot of the game. He just doesn't have chase down speed anymore, which is just sad to watch when he like gets a quarterback out of the pocket and then they can just run away from him. And it's like, oh man, that sucks. That's like Wile E. Coyote. But Matthew is definitely too slow to be in coverage on most players when he's got to play man. He's okay if he can just sort of roam around and hit people, but he definitely doesn't have the speed to cover people like he did when he was coming out of LSU. Jesus, I wanted them to draft him so badly. We missed the best years of his career in favor of much worse people.
Yeah.
He is one of the two people who I thought everyone in New Orleans would have loved, and we didn't take, with Lamar Jackson being the other. Like, they let Jackson go all the way to the bottom of the round and just traded up to get Marcus Davenport, giving up a pick and missing a generational talent at quarterback. Just real stupid. But I mostly enjoyed the game. In a game which was very frustrating, I mostly enjoyed it. But I will say the Bears looked better than the Patriots. We beat the Patriots a few weeks ago, like 34-0. That's a team that really, really sucks.
Yeah.
It's got to hurt going off a cliff that hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad teams. It's ugly down here, but I still, as bad as the Bears are, they're still like fighting it out with like the Arizonas and the New Englands for to get that top pick. Because if they finish in last and Carolina finishes right there, they'll be 1-2 in the draft next year, which would be
You have to play each other though, don't you?
Next week, I think.
Oh wow, yeah. Carolina was very funny because Texas beat us 3 weeks ago. Houston Texans beat us 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they beat Atlanta in a great comeback this weekend. And CJ Stroud looks like the real deal. And I think I cut out a lot of Stephanie Stradley talking about how awesome D'Amico Ryans is because it's not a Texans podcast. And and I just was feeling angry. but he really does seem amazing. But in between those two, they lost to Carolina. What?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Carolina's really bad.
Yeah.
They
suck.
And again, watching CJ Stroud come in and just be awesome is another, just every time I see something like that happen, I'm just like, why can't that happen here? It just can't.
Right.
It never will.
Nope.
Ever.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be thinking that in Carolina, too. But I think Carolina is probably fucking Bryce Young up more than they are, than he is fucking up their resurgence. You know, he may be getting the prime Justin Fields experience.
Yeah, he might.
Just being sacrificed to mediocre coaching.
And a bad roster, too. I mean, they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
They traded his best weapon to draft him.
Yeah.
That's going to go down as one of the worst trades in league history, probably, for Carolina.
Who did they get? Or what did they get?
They got Bryce Young for next year's number one pick and DJ Moore. And other stuff that I don't care to look
Wait
up.
Wait a second.
It's terrible.
Next year, you've got your pick and Carolina's pick?
That's correct.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, y'all gotta...
You almost want to lose to them.
No, we need to beat them so that we guarantee they end up with the worst record. So their number one pick will be ours no matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then we'll end up with like three wins in the top five somewhere. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, the going into this, it was always like this season, if Fields isn't the guy, they'll just draft another the guy. But now we've seen how bad they are at handling genuinely all NFL football. That it's like, great, draft another guy and ruin him too. What do I care? You know, it's like.
Andrew, what's your time horizon when you say now?
What do you mean now?
When you say, well, now we see that they're bad at all this football stuff.
Yeah, like that's, I meant the current coaching staff is very bad at the NFL.
Okay,
stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. The Bears, yes, always have been. We have a theory in general, just a group of friends and I, that you put on the Bears uniform and you just become the stupidest person on earth. It's just like instant transformation. I can't figure it out. I honestly cannot figure it out. So it is what it is.
Yes. C'est la vie. I want to thank you for making Paulson Adebo look.
Oh man.
Very good.
Yeah.
Like if not, you know, like one of the best, he's one of those guys who's going to end up with like really, I think he's good. But I think he's going to end up with really, really gaudy turnover numbers because people throw at him 40 times a game. You know, like no one wants to throw at Lattimore, so they keep throwing at Adebo's guy. And he made one, I thought, great pick and one just terrible throw.
Oh, yeah.
that he picked.
And he forced a fumble.
You know. And the fumble was great.
That was actually, that was a really nice play.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up on here is that, like, the one thing that the Bears have had going for them a long time is people like Hester or Peanut Tillman that do spectacular things. Like, you don't have to be good if you're entertaining. And Tillman's ability to, like, that laser precision punching a ball out of a dude's hands, watching that pretty much, blow up in her own face, pretty much the exact way we're used to watching it happen, was was pretty cool. Can't lie. I was like, wow, that's awesome. He nailed it. That's perfect.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. And then, you know, stripping Bajan at the end.
Classic.
Was very good stuff. Very good stuff. But once again, the Saints gave up like a bunch of second and longs and third and longs just by not playing like straight up defense, which is what had me like screaming last week against Indianapolis. But then this, like, but it never, against Indianapolis, I was like, we can lose this game because we'd lost a bunch of games like that. And in this one, once the second half started and they manned up, I was like, we can't really lose this game. This would be a very hard one to lose. In the same way that, you know, I'm watching in New York, so the game that has the volume on is the Giants, and I'm like, no one's afraid of Tommy DeVito. You know, like the
U of I's finest
defensive. Yeah, wait, who's finest?
U of I. He went to Champaign. He was our guy.
Tommy DeVito is a Syracuse guy.
He transferred to Illinois, played his last year for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Classic stuff.
Yeah, he just likes orange, I guess.
I guess so.
he's an autumn. It brings out his cheekbones.
Yeah, yeah. He should go to the Broncos.
He's going to do the tour. But he just, no one's afraid of him. Like, the defense was just like, come on, throw it, I dare you. And Daboll was like, no, I will not do that. so it was like, I'm like, that's what it's like to have your third string quarterback really be forced into action because Daniel Jones is hurt and Tyrod Taylor got like, I don't know if he tore his stomach muscle or something like that, but they're fucked. They're really fucked for the rest of this year if DeVito has to play. Anyway, first of all, closing thoughts from our Chicago friends.
Yeah, I do have to drop. My closing thoughts are football is evil and it hates me, and I'll keep watching it. I'll keep drinking that garbage because I'm an idiot.
Patrick?
I'm excited about Montez Sweat as a person who does not follow football that closely other than watching these games here and there. It's such like a R&B name. I expected him to show up with a silk animal print shirt. And I was like, that's so fucking cool. That's awesome. So yeah, that's the hope I'm holding on to this season.
Nice.
Gotta have something. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Ron?
Yeah, that was a good game. I feel like the rest of our games are going to be just like that. Like, we're a clown team playing another clown team. But it was pretty fun. So, yeah, good times.
Yeah. All right, cool. We got Minnesota next week with, I don't know what we're going to get with Josh Dobbs once he knows everyone's name.
Fuck.
But I'm hoping for the best. But with the conclusion of that, good week means we go out happy with the horns. Happy horns. 3, 2, 1. So thank you for listening to City Saint and Country Saint. I am Charles Starr with L. Ron Mexico. Thank you to our guests, Patrick and Andrew, and eventually to Lunar Snow for doing the sound engineering, and to whoever wrote the classic When the Saints Go Marching In. Goodbye.
Nice.